Real Forms Podcast. OVF.
This is the OVO Forms Podcast. I'm Higher.
I'm Rennie.
Rennie? Okay. You know, OVO Forms, what is OVO Forms? OVO Forms is a forum dedicated to Drake, Octo's very own.
The one and only.
One and only, the boy, whatever. He's his guy himself. The Toronto's very own podcast. And this is Test. Get the gist. Let's get right into it. What's going on in music?
Oh man, you know, a lot's going on in music. We got Mac Miller dropping fire. Outside of the whole Drake and Meek Mill thing, which we're gonna touch on a little later, it's like, yeah, Mac Miller is really dropping heat. Like, it's really a great year for music. You have The Weeknd coming out, you have all these artists, you know, Roy Woods, everything. You know, it's a lot going on.
Travis supposed to be dropping soon.
It's just a great year for music, great vibes towards the end.
Towards the end of the summer as well.
It's supposedly, but you know how that goes. Like, I'm gonna drop it tomorrow. I'm gonna drop it over the summer. You know, but where is it?
We'll drop it next year. <That's it>. Yeah. Yeah. So, what's the newest to drop this year? Let's talk about Beauty from the Madness. Beauty Behind the Madness.
Fail.
I know. Report it. Yeah, so we got The Hills, we got Can't Feel My Face, released most recently in the last couple, like last 3-4 months.
Both great head singles.
Yeah, both, like, you know, The Hills, it's like, it takes you back to, you know, a little bit of King of the Fall, you know, which dropped in like late last year, 2014. And then you have Can't Feel My Face, which is a more Michael Jackson vibe, which is a complete turn to pop. But at the same time, you still got the eeriness that Weeknd, like, interjects in his, like, songwriting and what he like to do.
Yeah, like, the whole song is about, like, drugs. Like, literally, drugs. The whole song is about cocaine. But he makes cocaine seem so dope. Like, you can say anything and it sounds great. But I like it because it's MJ style, it's pop. That's why it's, you know, number one on iTunes.
The video is dope.
Yeah, actually, fun fact, the people who made the Energy video made the Can't Feel My Face video. That's why it's all, you know, weird and creative. They made the same videos.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, is like, the, you know, the people they directed for, both Canadian. You know, it's just Toronto's really, like, you know, stepping out there, showing that, you know, they not holding any punches and everything. You know, the artists are just like all aspiring. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? We talked about Mac Miller and new single. What you was talking about the other day, Randy? He was talking about albums releasing so quickly after.
Yeah, albums releasing so quickly because, you know, like 2 years ago, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, it'd be like you have to wait like 8 months, 7 months, or right? It could be a whole year. Like, you get a single now,
an album like roll out
later. Like, so it's like nowadays with the whole Beyonce thing, she set the trend for that. But it's like now it's like the artists say the single's coming out, and it like, and the album is just like release date next month. You know, release date 3 weeks from now. And it's like, great.
J. Cole did it too before Drake, but you know. Drake, well, he still, J. Cole, he did announce it like a day before, I think.
Cole?
A week before.
A week or two before it. Yeah, okay. Drake just dropped it. It wasn't even like a single or anything. Drake just dropped it. But it's just that you can do anything now. Like, you don't have to wait, you know, because the best thing to do is just like have it come out real soon because it makes the hype, you know, go high.
Exactly.
And then people are selling just, more than they ever could have before.
People want to talk about, we live in a different age. You know, people download.
No, I'm talking about like in the 2010s, like people were selling way more than they could have just like.
That is
look
true.
How much Cole did without having all the extra promotion, this and that. Like, and you don't need that. They're not even featured, but you don't need none of that. As long as you have your single or like you have any kind of promotion, any video or something, just say the album is coming in 3 or 4 weeks.
People,
the world is going to go crazy.
People don't like to wait.
Yeah, when you wait on stuff, like. You know, like, it could build up hype, but it also could, like, get rid of some people. So when it's coming in, like, 3 or 2 weeks, that's going to be the conversation for 3 or 2 weeks, you know? Exactly. It's not going to air out.
The wave of fire, you know? All they, you know, is waiting. They're just waiting to grasp hold of something, you know, some physical or some sound, a new sound. People want to hear new stuff all the time, you know? it's so easy to put the content out there, and it's so easy to consume it now. So
yeah, in this day and age, like it's a great time for music, man.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, we gotta get, you know, the focus gotta shift to Drake at one point. So, you know, Fusion the Six, should it drop this year?
I personally feel like Views, isn't that like a should thing? It's like, I would prefer it to come out this year.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's ready for the backfire. I feel like he knows what he's doing. So if he drops it next year, there's a reason. If he drops it this year, it was a reason why he couldn't wait till next year, you know? Just wait
on it. Okay, I'm saying he could pull off the February release again. It seemed like if he has like a 3 month, like say he announces it in October, you know, classy, you know, October's very, you know, whatever. He announces in October, like the release date, or the release window, in the beginning of, you know, 2016, and then he'll have promotion, he'll have a promotion behind it, and then it'll sell even more than if you read It's Too Late. I'm not saying sales is the most important thing, and then it'll be basically no competition next year. Yeah, Drake.
For me as a fan, like as a fan of Drake, if Drake sold less than Fearing It's Too Late, I would cry. Like, I would really feel some kind of way. I mean, to me, sales usually don't matter, but if it's like an artist, I really like it does, because it shows how people feel about them as like a, you know? But I feel like either way, like, Drake isn't just going to drop it. He's going to have a single and promotion. It just knows that it's not going to be like a long release date. Even if it's like a month or two, it's not going to be anything longer. You know what I'm saying? Drake isn't the type to drop something out of nowhere. Like, again, I don't see that ever happening unless it's a tape.
Because the tape was supposed to be something like out unknown. It wasn't even supposed to be sold. You know, so.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Gangsta Grillz tape originally, and we know how that turned out.
You know, fucking that hosted by DJ Drama, which, you know.
Yeah,
we'll touch the information. talking about that. Yeah. So it's beneficial. It's both beneficial, but releasing this year is also, you know, getting back at, you know, competition. And then at the same time, he'll be known as dropping, you know, because even though If You Read It's Too Late is a mixtape, you do have it being released as an album.
Yeah, it's technically an album. You know?
So fans may know, and some general public may know, but you know, what's the difference? You know.
The lines are kind of blurred at this point. Even when So Far Gone, it was like, oh, this shit doesn't even sound like a tape. It sounds like an album. Drop the mixtape. That shit sounded like an album. The lines are blurred nowadays. Even with Future, the lines are blurred.
And then, you know, you have a lot of situations. Like I remember, it was in the past. It was like, you know, why like the mixtape be sounding better than the album? You know, like we and that the rappers, they drop their best music on like the mixtape. So, but it might be because they trying to give it a different feel. But people, it depends on the person too.
I feel like it's a label issue. I personally feel like if your mixtapes are amazing, your album is like shit trash. I feel like it's a label issue.
Cause they want you know, to it certain music depends. Or some shit.
Right. Yeah, because if you make a fire mixtape, like, yo, this, like, I really like this guy, and you come up with an album that's like mainstream, like not bad mainstream, but just like, you know, it's too like, you know, it's nothing like how the mixtape was. You're gonna assume that it's the label. There's no way the artist would do that, huh?
Where the fans originally come from. But then it could be. Well, no, I don't want to bring up, you know, bad stuff, but it could be like a Weeknd situation. Now, Weeknd did sell like 200-300K, or something like that. It didn't even.
That was the first week, though.
That was the first week?
No.
Oh, so that was overall? Damn.
Goddamn. I tell you that.
Well, I'm saying.
So. It's not in a little group you can't fix, but.
Yeah.
You see what he told him about. But keep going. I don't think he sold 200,000 first week.
Well. What I'm trying to get at, like, you have the trilogy, right? You know, amazing, one of the best mixtape, you know, series of all time. You know, at least in the R&B world, you know, probably not.
Yeah.
It's probably either way, because mixtape really exists in the R&B and the rap
in the eyes of like the culture, that mixtape changed the game in some way. Not changed the game, but it brought in a whole different sound. Oh, by the way, he sold like 86,000. So
86,000, yeah, that's really weak. But again, he wasn't really known. He had a big you know underground fan base. Today, you know, you had like a little push from Drake and everything.
Drake stimulus went over to his side.
Drake stimulus, it was powerful, but it wasn't like today.
But he's talking about I feel like with The Weeknd, The Weeknd, like Drake, really, that was the biggest stimulus I think Drake has ever had. Like, because Weeknd became like a star this year. Like he really became like a star.
Yeah, and I feel like when
real when you performing with Taylor Swift, my nigga. Like,
Now to get back to I kind of lost point. But the whole thing is, so you had a trilogy, and then Kissland, which is like almost the same concept, a little story mixed in with, you know, a little with his mind at the time, you know. And then you just see what Beauty Behind the Madness, you just venturing out to a whole different, you know, realm, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But it's because it's going pop and all that. But that's if you like, you know, you read a little couple things, you find out why he's doing that. But what was that? I'm getting off topic. We're talking about Drake, because Views with Six and all that. Okay, so what's happened lately? What's happened lately?
Drake is OVO Fest. You know, besides embarrassing Meek Mill in front of everybody.
Bad to bet.
I want to touch on the Hotline Bling situation real quick.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my
OVO Forest podcast.
We talking about Drake's life. That's part of Drake's life right now. Hotline Bling, like, I don't know if you guys know, but it's a song, and Drake is talking about how he feels about a certain female, like, wearing his clothes and going out with other guys.
Which is a concept he has used before. It's not a new concept.
Yeah.
I'm not known to this.
But he, you know, it's like,
himself, with the song, he never said what she was doing was wrong. He just said he was worried about her. Now, mind you, there's certain people with the mentality that Drake is, like, being, like, against females. Like, he's pinning someone down. Yeah, like, it's a misogynist thing. But it's like, come on now. Like, Drake is being attacked for being worried that a female is wearing less clothes.
And it's a girl that he knew. A girl he knew that was different before, you know? Like, she switched up something on
that. Yeah, so it's like people are really trying to attack the boy because of some accusations like this. It's crazy.
You
know, so I just want to touch on that situation. That was, like, rising.
If anything, like, you would think the thoughtful verse would be, a thing, but I guess he was talking about Pacific. He was talking about, you know, maybe Rihanna or something like that in that song, right?
Yeah, but it's like people pick and choose. Like, it's OVO Fest. Drake is getting popularity, getting respect from people. How about we try to tear him down?
It happens every time. Every time you reach a certain level, if you're not like already reckless or something, they don't like that Drake is so clean.
Yeah, he's too perfect. That's what even in the 48 Laws of Power it says. Yeah. Like, I think Law 47, like, you can't be too perfect. You know, Drake looks too perfect.
Yep. It was Law. I think it was Law 15, actually. But still.
No,
I think he was right. Because he showed a different law, which is, like, crush your enemy entirely.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that book. I haven't got to it. But ain't the point.
Classic book.
Yeah.
Relevant to every situation happening, though.
Exactly. And then, you know, lyrically, you know, Hotline Bling was a great song. I like it now. At first, I was kind of like, even as a Drake fan, because I don't like every Drake song when it drops. It took me a while to get into it, and I messed with the song heavily now. So, how does events today reflect in Drake's music? Like, you know, like, No new friends. And start from the bottom, or even like even in 100, like my circle got too small. It's a period now, you know.
It's like in every song, he's like hinting towards, you know.
He's telling you what's exactly going on, how people are like mad or jealous or, you know, envious of his success. know.
Speaking of Envy, like, what's the complex chick? Yeah, I'm taking shots. What's the complex chick? The one, like, the white chick that's just,
the
like...
The white chick, she said, like,
listen, she was the hard, like, biggest Drake fan in the whole entire world. Right. Had, like, a take care tattoo. Yeah. First of all, if you get a tattoo as a female, any man that you've never met, you obviously love this guy. Like, you have, like, a weird obsession with him. Like, she got a Take Care tattoo and another tattoo about something related to Drake. Now, all of a sudden, oh, Drake is too... He's showing too... Like, he's not soft enough. That's basically what she was saying. Like, her whole article was, like, a mental breakdown. Like, she was literally crying on paper about why Drake changed. Like, what did you do? And, like, come on. You can't be the same guy you was at 22. Like, everybody changes and grows up. So you can't get mad because he's getting muscles and talking cocky and he's not crying about every situation.
He's
just
trying to become a better... Like, he trying to be what he is. He has reached a level... And you gotta, you know, you behave like the level you are, you know? I'm not saying, and he not, is he being cocky? Maybe, you know, lyrically he against other rappers.
Listen, who wouldn't be cocky? Like, oh, that's why like, I never got mad at Justin Bieber. Like, for his, that's why I never got mad at JB. Shout out to Canada, but that's why I never got mad at JB for his situation. Because it's like, well, yo, it was, like, you got 200 mil on you, you feel me? You can do whatever you want. Like, you like 19, by the way. So, yeah. In your head, like, I'm gonna bug out. Like, exactly. I would have been buying cars. I would have been, flying boats into buildings. I would have been going crazy. Like, smoking all kinds of exotics. Like,
I'm saying, he was influenced by, like, that was, like, Little Flip, or Little What? Was the dude?
Little Bastard, yeah, that guy.
Little Bastard?
No, I'm talking Little Bastard. I thought you were talking about Little Twist.
Little Bastard. He was influenced by somebody else. But again, it doesn't really matter if he was influenced or not. It's still happening. You at that age, it's a growing age, you know. You got
and
all
every,
access
everybody,
to money.
Everybody grows with like what they have. If you surrounded by money and female.
So what? Audio clip.
You're going to buy whatever you want. You're going to race. You're going to talk trash.
Exactly.
But it just depends. It just depends on like how you deal with the situation later on. But everybody changes and grows.
Yeah. This is how it goes, man. But so let's start off on how something started off with a tweet. You know, a little people. You know, Twitter fingers, should we say, right?
Yeah.
You know, so like 2 weeks ago, or is it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, roughly.
Maybe
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, fucking Meek Mill, of all people, the person that received a verse from Drake or Rika.
Always new women gotta keep a balance. The girl of your dreams to me is probably not a challenge.
And he said, you know, you didn't tweet my album because we know about you.
Yeah.
And because of that, He started saying more and saying, you know, Drake has a ghostwriter named Quentin Miller.
He's one on the kill streak.
The kill streak? Yeah, he just kept going.
Yeah.
He just kept going, man. And then like, we just get a continuous bum rush of the stuff. And then, you know, people questioning Drake's integrity as a writer when he has shown that he wrote, you know, plenty of songs before. You know. We know for a fact Drake writes. But it may be in this situation. Maybe it was wrong. Maybe we didn't know all the information. So it goes on, you know, and everything. And we get what did we get? We get Quentin Miller. We get some more tweets from OG Mako, irrelevant people. And
OG the Bug Mako, the irrelevant guy that tried to get attention just because attention, you know.
And got
I know this. I know Qwen.
Yeah, and fucking boy, you know, like, put him down.
He's trying to reach for attention. Yeah, God. Nice.
You got put down with one of all people. But so Quentin Miller comes out via Tumblr, you know, and then at the same time, nobody want to believe what he said because, you know, it's just a written word, it's not an interview. So somebody could have easily wrote it all together. But what the story tells us is that, you know, Quentin Miller he wanted to be a rapper, you know, but he was ended up working in the bakery. Drake calls him and, like, fuck that. I'm gonna bring you. I want you to work with me.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you. I want you to work with me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that's real though. I think that's his actual official Tumblr page though.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's saying all this, you know, and then Quentin Miller is relaying the story and how like he's in a how he's in the studio with Drake, and then like he's like, why am I here and everything, and they just want him to listen and everything, and then help him out with flows, and at the same time he sees Drake like replace like 3 or 4 bars on like one 6 p.m.
He saw Drake like writing. He saw Drake writing bars on the hardest song on the album. You feel
and
me?
Freestyling Madonna.
Right, so it's like you can't discredit this man. Like, listen, he could have did. He could do everything without Q-Em. But if Q-Em does something that's dope, you know, if Q-Em does something that's dope, then why not, you know, add on to what he did? But I feel like the reference tracks, people don't understand this, but reference tracks doesn't mean the artist actually wrote. Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean the other person who sent it actually wrote the song. A person can use a reference, like, I'll use the words you already wrote down for me. I'm just going to re-say it in my own flow and send it back to you. That could literally be a reference. It could be one or two things, a flow switch, whatever. In the process, it doesn't mean Drake didn't write those lines, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, did you hear Q-Em stuff? Imagine him really writing those lines. Like, really imagine that, you know what I'm saying? Not saying he's trash, but
he's not even doing enough to be like Young Thug level.
Young Thug trash. But like he's not even on that status yet, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can't make lines and make catchy music. Like, his voice is bad, but like his lines, you can tell he didn't do too much on If You're Reading This Too Late. Now he might have gave ideas or flow to me, but I highly doubt he actually wrote like hard.
If anything, he might have wrote some lines and then like Drake sprinkled them throughout. You don't know exactly how it went.
You don't know the process, so you can't make accusations. You don't really know what happened.
And we didn't have any prior knowledge of Drake, writing. Like, we didn't know for a fact that Drake couldn't write a song, though. Then, you know, it would make sense. Maybe, you know, maybe Drake would just be a fucking industry plant that they just use to release all these songs because people like them. But that's not the case. Drake is actually doing... He's using his talent to promote.
That sounds like some sick, twisted movie plot. Like,
right? That's fucked up, right?
What the puppet was like, people were sending him songs, and we just made him the biggest like rap star of all time, but he's actually not talented at all.
Exactly,
like,
man.
Sound realistic. It
like some Milli Vanilli type shit.
Yeah,
and that's what and then, you know, we even finished with the fucking art already. We still got more to go. It took him fucking like 5 days to release
it. It took him 5 days to make one of those. It took him 5 days to make that song.
I don't think it was that. 5 days. Because if you read like Austin his stories, he already had the song done. He was just waiting for the reference track from DJ Drama.
He might have had the track done, but I feel like he added something to it. And even if he didn't, he's an idiot, because you know, like, after you heard back to back, you should have known that whatever you did, if it wasn't fire, like the best lines you've ever spit in your entire life, you wasn't gonna come back from that. Because Drake didn't have to say nothing like, I'll kill you, I got a platinum car and a platinum movie. All you had to say was say stuff that's actually happening to you and how you acting. And guess what? Just like the law of power said, it said you don't have to, Drake didn't have to like attack you. He just had to bring up your flaws. And then the community hung you. The community made the memes. The community talked trash about you. All Drake did was plant the seeds and like watched everything grow, you know?
Yeah. And at the same time, fucking, you know, Drake was like in the, you know, when the fucking memes were starting like attack Meek. Mm-hmm. It took like, Meek had like the internet on his side for maybe like, you know, a day or two.
I wouldn't even say the internet was on his side, because most people, they was questioning if Drake wrote the stuff, they were still saying, Meek, what are you doing? Why are you trying to attack Drake? Nobody was really against Drake. Everybody was just wondering if the accusations were true, but people was bashing Meek because he was coming at Drake, and everybody wanted Drake to respond. So when Charged Up came up, you know, everybody started getting a little more excited. Yeah. Back to Back came up, everybody just went ham and violated Meek Mill.
Back to Back drop. Okay, that's a Charged Up drop, right? On OVO Sound Radio, that Savage. He should not have did it during the fuck. Maybe he didn't think it was gonna be something. He shot it dead in on the week that OVO Sound Radio was supposed to drop. You know, just like he should have dropped Sunday or some shit. You
know? He should have dropped One and Oh right because, after Charged Up. He should have just dropped it right after Charged Up.
Because fucking OVO Fest just fucking like demolished him. They fucking put him on display.
Yo, but, modern day Jay-Z, shout out to Jay. Jay-Z. Shout out to Jersey. You know what it is. That was smart. Yeah, I really messed with that.
So Charged Up had dropped. And then Charged Up was good, but you know,
it was Drake's, a warning Drake's, shot. It wasn't hard.
It was a warning shot, and Drake's demeanor was, you know, it made people feel like Drake was weak or some shit.
Nah, but yeah. That was only the people.
But they knew it. They only hated him.
That was only the people that hated. Because I saw like the comments, the people that liked Drake or people that was in the middle, they was like, "Yo, Charged Up sound like he was a father talking to his son. Exactly. Like, Charged Up sound like he was like going in for the kill."
And Charged Up was better. And like I think Charged Up was better. But again, this, you know, where we at, and they want you to show a little like bite, more bite or some shit. They don't want like you to be a reserved figure. They want you to go in. And even then, back to back, he was reserved still in his Drake, you know, way.
Right, like, because every song he hinted at something that he could say about Meek, he just didn't do it. Yeah. That's why 3-peat really drops is going to really be killed. Like, it's really going to be killed to where you can't respond.
6 o'clock today.
And plus you got A-Rab dropping his diss track, and the delivery wasn't that good, but he violated Meek.
And he still did better.
Goddamn.
He actually dissed him, like, and I think Meek might possibly get shot.
If anything happened to Poppy, might pop a nigga for real.
Who knows?
It is a slight possibility.
He stepped on the wrong toes. That's all I can say. Funny right now? Yeah. I'm looking at this website right now, and like, I've seen like a GIF of like Meek and Drake like hugging each other at OVO. The OVO, what was it? Club Paradise. They're hugging each other at Club Paradise. So it was crazy seeing how things change, you know?
Exactly.
First, Drake was helping out at Club Paradise. Meek saying, oh, top three, I got Jay, I got Nas. Drake's number three. Him saying, oh, thank you, Drake, for Club Paradise, for everything you're doing. You the homie for life. And coming now to 2015 and seeing this is like, yo, people really are crazy. Like, people are savages out here.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many things. It gotta be a deeper reason for this shit, you know?
Right, it has to, but I don't think it is. I feel like he was always jealous of him. That's what
he's,
I feel.
He's
because
jealous
because
he's not the biggest, you know? He's trying to chase.
Because if it really was something that Drake did, Meek would have been said it. He would have tweeted about that. He wouldn't have tweeted about a reference,
And then when he freestyled on stage, he's not even mentioning no new stuff. He just mentioned you know, writing in tweets and everything. That said, we gotta talk about Nicki a little bit because you know Drake got at Nicki a little bit, but just to get at Meek, but at the same time, Nicki is supporting
Nicki because he got off like the way he did it was like you can't be offended. Like Nicki, no way she should be offended by what he said. Like shout out to all my boss bitch's wife and niggas. And like Nicki, that should be a compliment for Nicki, but a diss to Meek, you know?
Exactly. But Nicki did say some shit about. Say some stuff about
that's not 100% confirmed though.
It's confirmed. I saw the video.
It was a video. It's a video. It's confirmed.
You know,
it's confirmed then. But come on, Nicki, you can't. I know that's your man, but you have to.
Yeah.
It's your man, but you have to like you in the spotlight. People.
She only
like,
said
something
once
about
it, though. She ain't say nothing. See the stuff.
Oh no, but like people see the BS. So like, if you're going for the losing man in the long run, you're gonna be together because Meek is a bum. And he stinks, and he has a belly button piercing. You guys aren't going to stay together.
Do you really have a belly button piercing?
He has a belly button piercing, sad face. But it's just how she even tried to even give some kind of defense to this guy, knowing that they're in a losing situation. Like, if Nicki was really smart, she would not say anything, period, about anything. And when Meek and them break up, she'd go back to Drake and, like, friends, buddy again.
Yeah.
But it was never for her to even say anything. It made the situation nothing. Like, you just... People are going to look at you crazy because you're supporting this guy.
Yeah, exactly. And they know who the winner and who's the loser at this point. It's not even, like, a vagueness of thought of the opposite being true.
Right, like, you know you lost when people are saying that people, the soft Drake, like, from 2012, people are saying soft Drake, light skin, little fat stomach Drake is, like, killing you. Like, people are saying that Drake is overkill. Like, people are saying OVO Flex was too much. Yeah, you know it's real when people are saying Drake is going too far. That's how you know you lost. The thought of Drake going too far 2 years ago would have been a laugh right now. But the fact that people are saying this now is insane. Like, oh, Drake's going too far, like...
I don't want this to happen. Like, I'm saying Meek's career is not ended by any means, but
it's not ended, but it could.
It's highly affected. It's really highly affected.
It's affected. People think he's a joke now, but he got to, like Charlamagne said, shout out to See the God, but just like he said, like, you got to win the war. You know, not the battle. Just take this L and focus on your career. Yeah. You don't try to, like, win the battle and lose the whole war. Like, you don't just try to focus on that one thing, you know what I'm saying? Because that can mess you up. Just focus, like, move on before you mess up everything you built.
And it shows you the difference between a Meek and a Drake, you know? Like, social media-wise would be a key difference, because Drake don't put his information, his stuff out there like that. You know, previous things happened like this with Wale. Me, you know, the whole not tweeting my album shit.
But it's like, you a man, you don't tweet about stuff like that. Like, you hit up the person, like, one-on-one. You don't tweet about stuff like that. That's, like, immature. Like, come on.
Yep. And then you, what else? You have, okay, Meek put out his tweet. And then Drake responded back with the Twitter fingers, trigger finger shit. And ever since then, Meek hasn't, like, put out a tweet yet.
He hasn't tweeted in, like, 6 days. Like, right? Real talk. Like, he hasn't tweeted in 6 days. Because he knows as soon as he picks anything, people going to go on his page and volley. Like, people just going to be like, yo. And you know it's real. You guys saw the Straight Outta Compton hashtag. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
you guys
saw
it. But basically, like, it was just, like, they had memes and stuff. But Meek was in the equation. Like how you look. Like, no, Straight Outta getting beat by Singing Nigga. And they had, like, Meek with his face. Like, Meek is never going to let this down, because we're in, like, a day of internet to where, like, everything is, like, forever. Like, if you make one mistake, it's forever. It's not like back then when Nas and Jay was going at it.
Yeah.
If you're beefing...
Took, like, six
and you're
months.
But if you're beefing and the person beats you and he humiliates you, that's going to live forever. Meek can never... Like, this will never be forgotten about Meek.
Yeah. It's a chapter in both of their stories.
Yeah. So,
like, one bad. Yeah. I don't know. Meek not gonna recover from this shit. I'm saying it's always gonna be tarnishing him. It's gonna be a constant reminder. Like, you know, it's gonna be like a Ja Rule type situation. It's so funny because he mentioned that shit at the end of his one of those songs.
Yeah, Meek, that was ironic.
Like, I was like,
how you gonna mention, like, Ja Rule, but, like, you the one that's gonna get Ja Rule?
Ja Rule,
like,
right? And Ja Rule accepted his, well, Sometime TV. Like, I watched a little clip of Brilliant Idiots or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And they was, like, Ja Rule was on there, and he was like, you know, nobody was talking about some songs that 50 Cent did, and he said, you know, I kind of wanted that, and then the dude was like, not really. So, you know, Ja Rule still tried to defend himself from this, like, chapter in his, like, life.
Right, but it's over. Like, Ja Rule was making hits, and he fell off, like, straight up.
He sold hella records, man. 30 million.
Yo, but with these few moments, like, let's get into, like, the OVO sign roster. Like, what could be happening? What's happening? What could be happening on OVO sign radio with the artists?
Yeah.
You know, the new signee, Roy Wood, some possible signees. Let's get into that.
Yeah, I wasn't like, you know, Roy Woods came, like, to us, you know, a little, it was, like, a little surprise to me. Like, I know it's like, he's perfect. He has a little bit of that Weeknd, like, at least that almost, not necessarily vocals, because, you know, Weeknd clearly sang all of it. But I mean, like, that Michael Jackson, like, sound, you know?
Yeah, I just call it Toronto sound.
That rough.
It seems like Party, Roy Woods, and Weeknd all have, like, a similar thing, so I'm just going to call it Toronto, sound.
But it's a split difference, though. They have, like,
it's a split difference. They'll have little similarities, but Roy Woods definitely has some similarities to the Weeknd. But he has his own style. Like, when you hear the EP and you hear Jealous.
Jealous of me. Jealousy over me. Why you so jealous?
first, you're like, oh, this is dope, this is different. Mm-hmm. But you hear Get You Good, you can hear the MJM, how he's like making his voice raspy. He's talented though. He can do anything. He can make it slow, he can make it fast, he can rap. He's talented. Yeah, he's a great pick to be an OVO.
So OVO Radio, right? What do you expect?
I mean, we got the P Rain thing coming up. He's dropping a single. I expect something new. I really don't know what to expect because I didn't expect nothing last time, and I got a big surprise. So I don't know what to expect. I just know that something else is coming. I just know something else is coming. I don't know if it's 3-peat. I don't know if it's new Party. I don't know if it's new Magic. It could be anything. New OB, anything. But something's coming up.
And OVO Sound Radio is like the most like viewed radio most listened to radio out of all.
It is the most listened to on that whole thing. Like the trends is bringing Apple some love.
Yeah, you know, it was a great move for Apple to do it. It's a great move for Drake to switch over from, you know, Tidal to Apple Music.
Tidal.
So, I don't know. I feel like we might get some more Party. You know, he been dropping it there. You know.
I think he uploaded a private song to SoundCloud too. I don't know if you guys got the notification, but I feel like Party has like something already like
ready.
Because the way he's talking, like, you know, his album is like almost done or like done. So like he's
probably done mastering some shit.
It's probably a timing thing how he wants to drop his singles and all that.
You know, I want to talk about some other people. Like, did we have like Mannequin on the last one? I think it was on the
Mannequin.
Bang, bang. No, she wasn't ready. Me,
nigga. We're calling it out. I'm always doing that. You're gonna be hearing that a lot here. But McConan, we might have some more McConan, maybe, cause occasionally he be dropping songs that I like, and I like don't set up mine anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Mannequin could definitely drop something, you know. I feel like he has music in the works, like, cause he's been kind of quiet lately. He's been on tour. Yeah. He's been losing weight. He's been fixing his image up a little bit.
Yeah, it's beneficial. You know, he don't do that Red Dragon no more. So, all love for Mannequin. You know, you're really stepping it up. Like, you changing what we thought about you. You used to be, in most people's eyes, the worst OVO signee.
Yeah, and then he made the song with DJ Carnes. I like to. That song's getting played a lot in like big festivals, like EDM type stuff. They remix it.
I think it's big in like Europe too, at least in France.
It is like when they have like festivals of like EDM, like they'll remix it or like throw that on real quick. Like it's really big in festivals. Like it really like gets the crowd turned. I feel like if McConan, Mannequin, I feel like if he rapped on stuff like that, like often, like upbeat EDM type beats, he could be a huge artist. Like, I feel like that's really his lane. Yeah. DJ Carnage type production.
Yeah, that might be his, and it's perfect because it's like style isn't meant for a traditional song, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Red Man
Tuesday was
a unique character. I don't even think Tuesday was a regular song. It was weird. Drake just made it not as weird.
Well, it was basically Pina Coladas, basically, that song. Do you like Pina? It's weird. If you go look it up on YouTube, you'll know what I mean. You know? So, you talked about... What about Majid? We don't got much time left, you know.
Majid, I feel like he's dropping something too because My Love came out. Obviously, they have something else planned because, you know, My Love was cool, but it's like you have to come with the heat. And I feel like they're going to drop like their own like actual single soon.
They need to be like a snowball too because they can't be just dropping these single songs and not like doing anything afterwards. I did see some on Twitter, I believe. Instagram,
yeah, but I feel like they plot, and I feel like whatever them and Oliver are picking up is going to be big, and it's a certain way they're going to release it.
And even then, they still produce, so it's not like they're not doing anything.
They always produce mine a little bit.
So
out of everyone else in OVO, like they're the only ones that's like after this part, like they're only ones that's still like in the beginning stage because they haven't been on tour yet. So it's like I feel like after this EP, that's when like things are going to start hitting fast for them. But as of right now, they're just getting their image together and their music and how they want to release everything and how, like, you know, what they're going to do from there.
All right. So, how about Ram Riddles? What do you think about Ram Riddle?
Ram Riddle's the god. Like, I really feel like he's the perfect signee for, like,
he needed, OVO. OVO signed to go ahead and snatch him. It's like, it made no sense. Every, he just releasing song after song and all of them good. He, including Safe. Yeah. Safe has got to do Vibe too. But maybe, I don't know, Safe need to do more. But Ram clearly is it. He has a personality. He's comfortable in his own skin. He can be easily pushed out there, you know.
People and Drake and Olive
corny in a way, in a good way. But,
well, I know Olive already met him, so it's like, I feel like it might be a deal in the works, because I don't see, like, OVO not signing him.
I feel like maybe they had some reason. They had some, like, this whole rollout, you know, with the little mysterious, like, the Sweeter Man remix.
Yeah, and then the Sweeter Man remix.
And last year he had dropped to put the video out, but, like, somebody told him to take the video off the internet, then they will put it back up, you know? So, clearly, it's something, you know, happening behind the scenes that's more than just what we know.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, a whole process, like, that he didn't come up with somebody, like, some manager or something. Because with him, it's like, I feel like he got so much exposure, and I feel like Drake and OVO and them are really, like, you know, backing him up in some way. Because, look, like, before Drake even, like, mentioned, like, before Drake even, what, the snippet of Sweeter Man came out with Drake, everybody started looking up Ram Riddles and, like, the original version. So he started getting, like, 20,000, 50,000, 60,000 views.
Because all you need is a rumor, at this point.
A rumor, and people are like, oh, who's this guy?
And then they get exposed to the original by the rumor, because they don't have a remix yet. So
they just go to that.
It's kind of like the opposite of Tuesday, you know. Drake hopped on a remix, and then the song got exposed, and then the man became bigger. But instead of, they just let it ride out with the rumor, and then that's enough, you know. And at the same time, it could have started because it's like a weird, you know, conspiracy thing. But it could have started because of somebody or Oliver told somebody to post it up on KDT or somewhere else. You know?
I mean, who knows? Who knows? I feel like it's all speculation. It's all speculation.
Okay, that's the next time we do a podcast, it's gonna be longer than this, you know. But we hitting the ground, you know, running right now. So a good 40-50 minutes. But let's go and shout out some members, you know? So I wanna give a shout out to ATF Danny. I wanna give a shout out to White Ranger, I wanna give a shout out to Lonely Star Gino, I wanna give a shout out to Jake the Dog. You know, let's give a shout out to Young Metro. You know, what you got ready?
I'm gonna give a shout out to Bass. I'm gonna give a shout out to ATF Danny. I'm gonna give a shout out to Runtown. Who else? I'm gonna give a shout out to Cooney, you know.
Cooney.
Cooney and Six, shout out to y'all. Make sure you guys check out OVO Forums, by the way.
Jersey Season. Dunky D. If we left anybody out, we'll get you next time.
We'll get you next time.
All right, say peace, bro.
All right, later, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. OVO Forums.
OVO Forums Podcast. OVO.